And I don't want to get off on too much of the idle talk, but get into your Bibles with me in 1 Thessalonians and look at chapter number 4. Now, I did something I don't normally do, and I hadn't figured out. I had such a burden. This message was on my heart. I've never preached it before, and I can just see it fitting in with what God's been doing here. And last night I sat here and I said, Lord, would you let me preach? If it's your will. And this has been on my heart so much. I hope God will let me preach this in the power of the Holy Spirit and get something spiritual that can help us out of this portion of Scripture. If you'd like, go ahead and stand if you're able, and let's read the first 12 verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And starting off with verse number 1, the Bible says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. And just notice those two phrases there. To walk and to please God. And then look at this next statement. So you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we know we need help. There's not a preacher or a person in this building that doesn't need your help this morning. And Lord, I know I can't help them, but I know that you can. And I pray, God, that you would take this portion of the Word of God, that you'd bring it to light in our hearts, that you'd help our hearts to be ready and hungry for the things of God, and that you'd give us the help that we need, Lord. And I just pray for the power of the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, to touch the preaching and touch the hearing and touch the receiving and all that happens in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The thought that's on my mind this morning and has been all week is found in verse number 4. And verse number 4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And I got to thinking about, you know, this verse, as you look at it real carefully, it says there's nobody excluded here. It says that every one of you, every one of you. So it's God's will and it's God's desire that every single one of us know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. And that little word in there, it says that ye should know. 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 Now, how do you know anything? You study, don't you? Yeah. Now, I know that most of the time when you're in this portion of Scripture and you're down in verse number 11, it says that you should study to be quiet. Now, there's a lot of preaching in that verse. Typical preaching would be, you know, that we're not going to be talking about one another and we mind our own business. That's typical preaching out of that verse. And that's great preaching out of that verse. But when I was looking at this, and I got to noticing through some of these verses, in verse 2 it says that ye know, here's that word know again, that ye know what the commandments we gave unto you, know that you know that. And then in verse number 4 it says, and that you should know how to possess your vessel. And then you get down to verse 11 and it says that you study to be quiet. Now the reason that these old time men of God in years gone by had more seemingly insight and touch of God on them is because they had time. They didn't have cell phones and internet and cars and everything interrupting them constantly and all the distractions that we have. We don't have time to study to be quiet. And so I thought, you know, sometimes when you get into this English language and you start learning the language, and by the way, you don't have to be, you know, a degreed person to get in. You got a dictionary. Just open the thing up and study and use it. That's all you got to do is just use it. Get the stinking TV and anything else that's going to rob you of your time and get your book out and get you an 1828 Webster dictionary and do some studying. And so as I got to looking, I thought, all right, I'm going to be thinking here on this thing of how to possess my vessel in sanctification and honor, but I also need to learn how to study. And here it says I should study to be quiet. Now, quietness, if we weren't talking and we just stop, is quiet. People get uncomfortable with quiet. Yeah. But we need to be quiet, because it's when we're quiet that God will speak to us. Yeah. And so Webster, here's what he said about quiet: to stop motion, to still, to reduce to the state of rest. Now that doesn't mean you're going to fall asleep in church. That's not what that's talking about. Okay? This is not a place to get into the rest where you're going to go to sleep on God. We're not talking about that. So let's get that off your mind. Okay? Now, here's another one: to calm or to quiet the soul. And I like what he said, when agitated. You ever get agitated? I got home for one day on this last trip, and my neighbor, and I think she goes out there with a pair of scissors and cuts, you know, if a blade of grass gets that high, she's out there at 6 in the morning clipping it because it's too high, it's not right, you know. Well, I don't care that much about grass. I mean, I want to be a good neighbor, you know, I don't want to irritate people. But so I get home, and I'm trying to mow everything, and I'm praying now. I get on my mower, and I'm not just mowing. I mean, you know, there's a time to pray. So I'll make one pass. And Brother Bob, you're one of my favorite missionaries. You're also my friend. So I'll pray for you. And then I'll come back, Brother Nichols, and I'll think about you and I'll pray for you. See, you can use your time. And that's what the songwriter said when he said he walks with me and he talks with me. See, you can have a walk with God. We were talking about it the other day. When I get out of bed, you know, and you said Brother Wells said this. I don't know who told me, but I got this in my mind. When I go to set that foot out on the carpet, out of bed, the first thing I do before the foot hits is I say, Lord, I love you. And I want to start my walk with God right there. I don't want to start my day with my own thoughts, thinking of my belly and what's for breakfast and, you know, something I got to do or somebody I got to call. I don't want to start like that. I want to start with God. You got to get quiet. Well, this woman, I'm on the mower and she does this to me, summons me over to the fence. So I come over to the fence. She's like that at me. Yeah. She's sort of mean, to be honest with you. And she goes, have you ever looked at anybody else's yard in the neighborhood here? Did you notice that yours is the most unsightly here? I said, yes, ma'am, that's why I'm mowing it right now. I haven't been home for 2 weeks. Well, you ought to pay somebody to come over here and mow this grass. It's a disgrace. Now, I wasn't real quiet. I was sort of agitated by it. You know, I thought, why don't you mind your own grass? You know, yeah. I mean, I'm getting in the flesh, brother. You know, and I don't want to get in the flesh. And you know, and I'm praying for this woman. I'm saying, Lord, would you help me witness to her? You know, and so I said, and this is true. One of those passes I made, I prayed for. I said, I just prayed for you. You know. I don't want you praying for me anymore. You stop praying for me right now. That's what she told me. I thought, oh, man.
man.
Lord, I'm getting more agitated. So, but that's not quiet. And when you get in that state where you're agitated, you know, it's hard to pray.
Yeah.
It's hard to let God speak to your heart.
Yeah.
You know? So you've got to get yourself in a place where you can stop and study to be quiet.
Amen.
Now, I looked up this thing of study. I thought, you know, these are big, hard words. I know they're big, long words, and they're hard words. But, you know, you got to take time and look them up. Because, you know, these little words have things that we don't think about, or they're used in different ways. So I looked it up, and it says, a setting of the mind on thoughts on a subject, application of the mind for purpose of learning. That'd be what study would be for, wouldn't it? Learning. Because, you know, in our text verse, that every one of you should know. Know. How. Know how. To possess the vessel in sanctification and honor. And so, here's what study does. It gives strength of the mind, strength in your conversation, and strength to the graces of God in your life. That's what study will do for you. And so, there's more to that you study to be quiet than just keeping your mouth closed here. There's a time that you're setting aside to let God speak to you so that you might know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, I know sanctification is one of those theological terms, but basically sanctification is just simply setting yourself apart for God to make you more like Him. More like Him. It's that growing process. And see, we've heard a little bit about people that... I didn't know what time I started, brother. What time we need to be done here? Okay. You need to look at the areas of your life that you need to improve on. But if you never ask... You know, prayer is pretty simple, isn't it? Ask and you shall receive. But you got to ask, don't you? So you know what I do every morning? I say, Lord, is there a thought... Or is there something in my life that displeases you every morning? I don't want any thoughts that displease God. I want to learn how to possess my vessel in honor and sanctification. Sanctification, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit of God is a permanent work that goes on in our life. If you try to do it out of good character and good discipline and the strong willness of the flesh, it won't succeed. You've got to let the Holy Spirit of God work in your heart. I got to thinking, well, what kind of things can I study that will help me possess my vessel in honor? And I've just got a couple of thoughts. I'll be through and I'll let somebody else can do a much better job with this than I. But the first thing is, you know, the word study is used in the New Testament twice, right here in this passage in 4:11, study to be quiet. It's also used where it says study to show yourself to be approved unto God. Okay? That's another great thing, isn't it? Study to... Don't let verses that get so commonplace not grab hold of your heart and your life and motivate you to go on for God. And so I got to thinking, all right, I need to meditate. And you know, meditate, I think Psalm maybe in 39 it says that he began to muse. You know, that's that real deep dwelling and it starts a fire in you when you start doing that. And you'll say, boy, that's good. That's good. That's helped me. You know, or you'll look at a verse and God will speak to your heart. And you'll just, sometimes you cry. Sometimes you get convicted. Sometimes you take a step forward in your walk. You learn. And so it's so important to meditate and meditate on the Word of God. What, you know, these are the only words that will help you grow in your walk right here. My words can't help you. Brother Nichols can't. Brother Patnaw, as much as I love you, brethren, this is the Word of God. His very Word. You know, recently, and I've been teasing Brother Nichols about it, you know, I quit calling these the King James Version. I call it the King James Bible. This is the Bible right here. You know, all the other things are versions. This is the Bible. And so this is the Word of God that's going to help you. And you need to study it and rightly divide it. And that's one way You know, I think Psalm 1:2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day and night. So, with that, another thing I do every day, and I assume most of the brethren here do, is I learn a Bible verse every day. I hope you're memorizing a verse today. I hope you got up and you're studying to show yourself approved. I hope that's what you're doing. God burdened me about it. I'll tell you another good thing to meditate on. The Bible says in Psalm 63:6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Amen. You know, if you get to dwelling on how good God is, man, the joy of the Lord is our strength, brother. Yes. And when you think about how good God is and how insignificant and unworthy we are, how could you not help but get up on a higher plane than what this world will put you on? Yeah. And so meditating on God is good. And then in Psalm 77:12 it says, I will meditate also on all thy works and talk of thy doings. I walked into the bank. I was real quickly. There wasn't anybody in there. The doors had just opened. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. And I happened to be meditating. It's just an example. On Psalm 23. And so I said to the teller, and there was 4 of them in there, I said, did you notice the twins following me? I'd read it somewhere. It wasn't mine originally. I said, did you notice the twins following me in? All 4 of those tellers looked. There wasn't anybody behind me. Of course, they already know me enough to think I'm nuts anyways, you know. But so I said, yeah, the twins, you know, God's goodness and mercy, they shall follow me all the days of my life. Everywhere I go, God's mercy and God's goodness is following me. You know, there's no place that you can go and get away from God. And so when you meditate on the marvelous works of God, you know, have you ever just gone out and looked at a flower or something in this creation that God's done and just looked at the detail of it? What you're doing, what I'm driving at here is you're studying. You're looking closer. You're learning about it. You may not know all of it. But every time you examine it, every time that you focus your mind and your thoughts and you meditate and you study, every time you do that, you're learning. And every time you learn about God and the Word of God, you're getting closer to God. You're getting the mind of God in your heart and in your soul. And so that's good. And I've memorized Scripture every day. Every single day you ought to be hiding this Word in your heart. Every day. Every day. I mean, even if you can't learn a new one today, you ought to be reciting an old one. Every day you ought to be taking that Bible and running it into your mind. Yeah, every day, every day. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I wonder, and I'm not trying to get mean, but in this state alone in the last 5 years, I can think of a half a dozen pastors that are no longer pastoring because they messed up. Now, I wonder, you know, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm going to tell you a terrible statistic here. But Pastor Ron Meldrum up in Maine and myself, we have a little website that we created years ago. And all it is, it's all free. All it is to help ministries get exposed on the World Wide Web. It's called the Fundamental Top 500. That's all it is. You put your website on, people visit your website based on the number of times people visit your website, you sort of go up and down in these rankings of all the other websites. That's all it is. On Saturday night, every website that has illustrations, study helps, and sermon outlines spike 5 times their normal on Saturday night. It grieves me to no end. Because what that means is, Brother John, is pastors just like you are waiting until midnight on Saturday night to try to get something to get up in this pulpit. People are not studying. I remember the first time that my pastor came to me and said, and I was a young Christian, I was a novice, and he said, Brother Grisham, I want you to teach the Sunday school class. Whoever was teaching, I forgot his name, is gone. That was on a Sunday. Sunday night, I went back. I wasn't married. I said, God, I can't do this by myself. You know, I mean, I'm totally dependent on God. I don't know anything. I said, God, you've got to help me. Every single night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, I was studying and I was teaching on the book of John. Now, I made a bad mistake and I looked Saturday night at Spurgeon's notes on John 5. And I was beginning to think Saturday morning I had something until I looked at Spurgeon. And then I realized I didn't have a thing at all. But I had what God gave me, and I went into that Sunday school class, and I had the power of the Holy Spirit on me, and the Holy Spirit of God taught the lesson, and people were helped. I learned a lesson. You know, that was a growing thing. I learned how to possess my vessel just a little bit better. And, yeah. So, anyway, so the other thing that I thought would be a great thing is this thing of mobilization. Now, that's sort of a big word. I probably shouldn't have used it. But basically is put into practice what you learn. You know, what's the point of learning anything for God and being a servant of God if you don't go out and be a doer of what you've learned? Amen. You know? In other words, don't be a word-only Christian. Live what you say. Live what you learn. And so, hey, this used to be, you know, I was thinking about it when I was thinking about preaching this, brother. I thought, well, this is sort of basic kind of stuff. We don't need it. But then I thought, well, why are pastors falling out of the ministry? Why are people, you know, over the slightest little thing that have been members for years can't resolve a problem and just go out the door over the, you know, because somebody over here in this pew said something that they didn't like, you know? What's wrong with Christians today? Well, they need to get grounded in this Word. They need to study and know how to possess their vessels and how to deal with the things that come into our lives. Yeah, we've got to do that. And so, in James it says, "Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. And for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Now I heard one preacher, and it was a little crude, but he said it's like going to the mirror and seeing something nasty on your nose, and then just walking off and leaving it there. Yeah. It's a little crude, but it gets the picture across, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. And so, we can't do that. God gives us what He gives us, so that we can live better for Him, possess our vessel in sanctification and honor and please Him. And so if you look back at verse 1, it says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God." You know, our walk are deliberate steps, you know. Now, we don't, it's like brushing our teeth. We don't have to stop thinking, do I go this way? I mean, we do things sort of in a natural habit kind of a way. And that's what we need to do with our walk with God. We need to learn that every step that we take, you know, they're deliberate steps. They're cautious steps. Because we're trying to study to know how to possess our vessel for sanctification and honor to walk and please God. That's what it's all about. And so we need to mobilize. And then I've come to the conclusion that this is probably everything that we do, no matter what our need is. I've come to the conclusion that without the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our life, we can't do a thing. We've got way too many people that are trying to live the Christian life and not allow the Holy Spirit of God to control their life and to be yielded. And it really comes to those two words, to be yielded and obedient. Those two words right there. We need to study to be yielded and obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. Well, how do you do that? I mean, well, first of all, you get in the Word of God, don't you? And you read about the things that we can do in our body that please God and those that don't, right? So if you take a passage like Ephesians 4:30, it says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." We preach that on eternal security all the time. But the topic on it is talking about grieving the Spirit of God. And then the following verse in verse 31 tells us how we grieve the Holy Spirit. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice? Yeah. So those are all inward sins, aren't they? Those are things that upset me. Those are things that you say that I don't like, or I didn't get this and I should have, or those are all those kind of fleshly, carnal things that the flesh does. And when we do them, the Holy Spirit of God is very gentle and easy to be quenched, easy to be grieved. You've got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. You've got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. So I would propose, if you're going to learn how to possess, how to know how to possess your vessel unto sanctification and honor, that you had better study the Holy Spirit of God and learn how to let Him take control of your life, how to influence your thoughts, how to fill you with power, how you cannot grieve Him with things that you say. See, I run into this a lot of times at the book table. I'll have numerous authors. I could have one you wrote, brother. I could have one that you wrote, Brother Hoy. I could have one that you wrote. And somebody may not like Brother Hoy. Maybe you don't like him. And so they'll come up to the table and they'll look at these different authors and they'll say, "What do you think of Brother Hoy?" Well, you know, these independent fundamental Baptist policemen that come over to my table all the time, you know, the Pharisees, you know, the ones that are really, really coming to bless you, you know, those, yeah, they come over there to the table and ask me those kind of questions. You know what I had to do? Lord, I need some wisdom. I need to know how to answer these people in a way that it doesn't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah.
Amen.
So, now what I tell everybody is everything that I've got in there is not inspired. It's full of errors. Except
Amen.
The King James Bible.
Yeah.
The King James Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also say, if you'll study and learn how to let the Holy Spirit control you, you can also do that when you read.
Yeah.
You can read Brother Hoy's book. As he's got some good things to say, Holy Spirit will be right there. Amen! 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 And then all of a sudden he said something that's not quite right. And the Holy Spirit said, there's something wrong here. You know? And if you're sensitive and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you'll pick up on it. You may not know immediately what it is, but it'll cause you to stop and start searching around and looking. You're studying. You're studying. You're learning how to possess your vessel. You're studying. And I've heard people say, "Well, bless God, you don't need any books. You just need this book." And you know, I like that. That's pretty good. But you do need books, brother. I mean, you need to learn after godly people. You know, you need to learn after those that have gone before us. Don't keep reinventing the wheel all the time. I mean, learn. And so good books can help you. So, you know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, "Quench not the Spirit." You know, you can just keep on living your life and you can be in charge and you can be the one that's the boss. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have a miserable Christian life. If you don't yield to the Spirit of God, you are not going to walk like God wants you to walk. You're not going to have the power to serve like He wants you to serve. You're not going to be, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. I never read the Bible, Brother Hoy, that I don't say, "Now, Lord, I'm getting ready to read this Bible. My carnal mind can't understand it. I need the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate this Word of God in my heart." And so we need to learn and study. And by the way, I don't know of anything that any of us will ever arrive at. We will study till the day God takes us home, as long as we've got a mind to do it. But, yeah. Amen, brother. You're far ahead of me on that one. But this term, you know, when you look at the Holy Spirit of God, you can look at all its nature. You can look at the Holy Spirit and in all the, you know, the fire and the wind and all the emblems of all. You can learn all that. That's all great. But it still comes down to two things, Brother Nichols. Obeying and yielding. Obeying and yielding. God said that I go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God will lead you into all righteousness. He will convict you of your sin. He will do all that, but only if you are sensitive to Him and you haven't grieved Him and you haven't quenched Him. And so we need to learn all of that. And then lastly, the things that I like about the Holy Spirit that I've been studying on is, you know, in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says that He's given us His divine nature. You know, that divine nature is imparted in the Holy Spirit of God. Well, what is God's nature? It's love, isn't it? And there's many other things, but it's love. So look at the passage that we're in. He said, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. That's His nature. If you're saved and you've got Jesus Christ in your heart, you've got the Holy Spirit of God, and you've got the nature of God residing in you, and you should love. It's a normal, natural thing for a Christian to love, you know. And we'll close with this thought and cut it a couple minutes short. Go over to Galatians with me. I want you to see this. In chapter number 6 in the book of Galatians, it says in verse number 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, still looking for someone that is, by the way, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I've got a preacher friend, and he was telling me a story. There were four of them every Monday morning. They met down at a little coffee house, and they would talk preacher talk on Monday morning, how it went and how many people were saved and all those kind of things, and it was a good time. They got there that morning, and the brother was telling me that one of the other brothers said, did you hear about so-and-so? And he was talking about another preacher. And that preacher had gotten himself involved in sin that took him out of the pulpit. And the three of those people that were with this brother started saying, you know, I knew there was always something sort of different about him. And they started going and attacking this poor brother. And the one that told me this story started crying during that. And he got up and he left. They said, where are you going, brother? He said, I love brother so-and-so. He was my brother. I'm going to get with God. A secret place. And I'm going to lift him up to God. Yeah. We better get back to walking with God. We better get back to letting the Holy Spirit lead us and get that carnal, wicked mind out of our walk. And we better learn how to possess our vessel in honor. When you get in a preacher's meeting or you get somewhere and someone is starting to evil speak, as it says in verse 31 of Ephesians 4:30, that's going to grieve and quench the Spirit of God. You had better just dismiss yourself and walk away. Get away from it. That's studying the Holy Spirit of God. And that's studying how to possess your vessel unto sanctification and honor. Preacher.